evening, everyone. Good evening. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Leprosy, also called Hansen's disease. Leprosy has affected humanity for thousands of years. It is a chronic infection caused by a bacteria and transmitted through sneezing and coughing. We will discuss this ancient disease on today's program. And joining us via phone from New Delhi, India, is Dr. Erwin Koroman, team leader of the Global Leprosy Program of the World Health Organization. Dr. Koroman, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us. And also joining us via phone from Durban, South Africa, is Peter Lapsher, Executive Director of the Leprosy Mission of Southern Africa. Mr. Lapsher, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much and good evening to you.
Good evening and good evening again to our listeners across the continent and globally. Let me remind you, listeners, that if you'd like to participate in the show with your question or comments, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thought, as you often do, at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/voahealthchat. We will start our discussion shortly, but first, health workers in Malawi fear leprosy is resurfacing in the country. Take a listen. This health center in Balaka, eastern Malawi, has taken in more than 20 people shunned by their communities because they have leprosy. It is a chronic infectious disease causing disfiguring skin ulcers and nerve damage in the arms and legs. 37-year-old Julius Mozeni was diagnosed with the disease last year.
People in the village used to stay away from me. They did not want me to associate with them, not even to come close to them. I was mostly alone. My hope is to receive the best treatment and get better. But if it fails, then I think I will die.
Leprosy is one of the world's oldest known diseases. Globally, the number of cases has plummeted from 5.2 million in 1985 to about 210,000 a year now. It still exists in more than 100 countries. Malawi was declared leprosy-free in 1970. However, more than 600 cases were reported in 2015, up from 554 in 2014. Health workers are urging people to report suspected cases.
We thoroughly screen our patients for leprosy. We are good at detecting any cases of skin problems, whether they are mere skin problem or leprosy. When we detect a leprosy, then we immediately put the patient on treatment. Now, we are calling upon all those people that have skin problems to rush to the health facility and get the right treatment.
Because the disease carries a stigma going back centuries, many sufferers are afraid to come forward for help. The poorest and most marginalized communities are most vulnerable. People who develop disabilities from leprosy are often excluded from their families and their work. George Anafi, a leprosy coordinator in Balaka District, raises some concern.
We are in a situation where leprosy is still a problem. That is what it means. And even the number of new cases that are coming in every year is also alarming. Door-to-door contact, because that is part of surveillance, and this is where we are looking to. But you know what? We are handicapped in terms of research.
Leprosy can only be diagnosed once visible symptoms appear, and this can take up to 20 years. The disease is spread through droplets from the nose and mouth after frequent contact with a sufferer. Malawi government says the cases being reported as new infections are actually old cases and has called for calm. Leprosy is curable with a combination of drugs. Dr. Koroman, let me start by asking you your reaction to what is happening in Malawi. Can you give us a sense of where things stand?
Okay, thank you. I'm not personally not very familiar with Malawi myself, but what I would think of hearing this story is that while leprosy is a disease that does not really occur in outbreaks, it's not like the flu or like Zika virus now in Latin America. That's unusual for leprosy. What we may have is that the incubation time differs from person to person, can be from a few months up to many years, 20 years or even more. So it could be that we have a cluster of cases occurring about 10 centuries, accepting the symptoms that people may have been infected at different times in the past and express disease now. That could be. It could also be that what we have seen in other countries, and I'm not familiar with Malawi per se, but it has happened in other countries. Once the elimination level was reached, which meant less than one case per 10,000 on treatment, that national programs were a bit abandoned, were dismantled, were neglected. And then what, due to this neglect, number of new cases occurred but not detected, so accumulated.
Okay.
And they may have been detected now. So it could be an accumulated number of cases.
Okay.
Also.
Dr. Kurman, unfortunately, we're having a little trouble with your audio. We will call you back just in a second, just to make sure that the line is better, is clearer, because right now we have some background noise. And we'll call you right back. Peter Lapshaw, let me come to you. You are the executive director of the Leprosy Mission of Southern Africa. First, let me have your reaction with Malawi. I know Dr. Kurman was explaining some things there, but is there a reason for concern when you look at what is happening in Malawi, given that you've been working in the field Southern Africa, in South Africa, your country? Tell us what your reaction is to this. Peter Lapshaw, are you there? Hello? Okay, I think we lost both our guests, so we will have them back shortly. This is a very important topic, and we want to make sure that we cover this, because many people we spoke with did not even know the disease still exists. This is an ancient disease that has been around for a long time, and we are trying to understand what is going on. Our guest today, again, let me remind you who we will be talking to. We have Dr. Erwin Kurman, who is the team leader of the Global Leprosy Program of the World Health Organization. And Dr. Kurman is joining us from New Delhi, India. We also have Mr. Peter Lapshaw, with executive director of the Leprosy Mission of South Africa, Southern Africa, and we will speak to both of them in a minute after this short break. Thank you. Welcome back. You are listening to Health Chat. Today we are discussing leprosy, and I believe we have our guest Peter Lapshaw back. Peter,
yes,
Lapshaw.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we lost you there for a second. Let me have your reaction, as I was asking. When you look at what is happening in Malawi, given that this is leprosy is something you have been working on for quite some time, how do you react to this and looking at what is happening also in your country?
Yes, I think what happens with leprosy is that people tend to assume that it's died out altogether. I think one of the issues that arose with the elimination target is that the elimination target set a certain percentage level, very low percentage level, and people felt when that had been reached that leprosy had been eliminated altogether from a country. What it really meant was that leprosy had reached a very low level, and I think sometimes there was a bit of confusion about that, and so people didn't look out for leprosy as much as they had been looking out for it in the past. And I think perhaps what we've seen in Malawi this past year with a 13% jump in the number of patients is perhaps that just some patients who have had the signs of leprosy for quite a long time have suddenly, for whatever reason, now been diagnosed and placed on treatment. So I wouldn't be too alarmed by that. I don't think it necessarily represents a trend. But obviously, if we see another 10% jump this year in 2016 and again in 2017, that would certainly indicate a cause for concern and that would need investigation. But I would be surprised if that were the case. I suspect rather these are folk who have had leprosy for quite some time and have now been found. And I'll give you an example from South Africa in one of the areas where leprosy has reached a very, very low level. We last year, towards the end of the year, diagnosed a new patient who had had the clinical signs of leprosy for 18 years and had actually been to doctors a number of times, but they hadn't recognized it as leprosy and had been treating her for other conditions. And fortunately, she'd come to the hospital where we were providing training in the recognition of leprosy, and one of the doctors said, oh, I've got a patient like that, let's go and see her. And sure enough, she had leprosy. And I think that will be one of the issues in leprosy. As the numbers drop worldwide, we're very grateful for that. Unfortunately, awareness does drop as well, and people aren't always alert to the especially early signs of leprosy. And that's what we want to promote, is to get people onto treatment for leprosy in its very earliest stages before damage occurs to the nerves, because it's that nerve damage that leads to a loss of sensation in the hands, feet and eyes and makes people vulnerable to injuries which lead to disabilities.
But we understand that it's caused by a bacteria, but how is it, what causes this bacteria? Where do you where does this bacteria live? And I guess my question is, how is it transmitted? How do you get leprosy?
Leprosy is transmitted, as far as we know, mainly by coughing and sneezing. Certain patients, when they develop the disease, develop what we call a multibacillary form of the disease. That is where they have a fairly low immune response to the disease, and the bacillus multiplies pretty freely in their bodies, and particularly in the upper respiratory tract, and particularly in the nose. And so often when you find leprosy patients who've had leprosy for a long time, their nose would have collapsed and they have a lot of nasal congestion and so on. Those patients, when they cough and sneeze, are exhaling a very large number of leprosy germs, which in turn can be inhaled by other people. And in that way, we believe probably the majority of people contract leprosy. There may be other ways in which it's spread, but I think most experts feel that is the way the majority of leprosy patients contract the disease. However, I must stress that it is a very difficult disease to catch, even when you're in close proximity to someone who is not on treatment and who has that multibacillary form of the disease. You're highly unlikely to catch leprosy. And, of course, once people start treatment, they are not able to pass the disease on to other people. And that is why we're seeing a drop in the number of people contracting leprosy each year. That's largely, I think, thanks to the widespread availability of multidrug therapy.
And this leads me to Dr. Corman, who is back with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry about the technical difficulties, Dr. Corman. What are the WHO's recommendations in terms of diagnosing and treating someone who has leprosy? We know that back in ancient times, people with leprosy were isolated in some type of leprosy camps or retreat. I'm not sure what the exact term is. But today, are they able to live within society? How is this handled, Dr. Corman?
Yes, definitely. After diagnosis, treatment should be started as soon as possible, and then the patient becomes very quickly non-infectious. So there is no reason to isolate them further, because the longest time of during the infectious period was before the diagnosis, and then after diagnosis, after a few weeks, they are non-infectious. So therefore, there is no need to isolate patients. The prompt treatment is the most important after diagnosis.
And the WHO is providing multi-drug therapy free of charge. Is that right, Dr. Corman?
Well, it's not WHO itself who provides the treatment. This is the policy. The treatment is available free of charge thanks to a donation by the company in
Novartis, if I understand correctly.
Sorry?
Yes, go ahead, please. I believe the treatment is Novartis, something.
Novartis Foundation provides, Novartis provided drug free of charge for the whole world, for patients right within programs of government as well as NGOs. This commitment from Novartis is there till 2020, confirmed. After that, we'll see. They might continue to extend. Maybe the numbers have reduced more. That we can find another donor. But in principle, the treatment should be given as long as patients are diagnosed.
So, Mr. Lobsher, on the ground, how readily available is this treatment?
Well, in South Africa, what happens is we receive the treatment each year from the donors in Switzerland, and we have it available at our office in Johannesburg, and we distribute it to clinics around the country from there. Unfortunately, there can sometimes be breakdowns in communication. I was alarmed today to hear, for example, that at one of our clinics where the treatment is available, the patient was nevertheless given the wrong treatment. So, of course, that unfortunately does happen in certain circumstances. But, yes, the treatment is widely available, and it's a question of keeping awareness alive and reminding health workers that leprosy is a curable disease, that the treatment is available, and that they need to be in touch with their health departments to ensure that they get the supplies as they need them.
And Dr. Kroman, what is the WHO's strategy in terms of final eradication? Is it something that is even possible?
Well, eradication is not on the agenda at this point of time. We talk about elimination.
Okay.
And elimination has been reached at a global level. However, elimination in the context of leprosy is different from elimination for other diseases. It does not mean absence of local transmission as in the case of malaria or other infectious diseases. It means that for leprosy, it means elimination is, we talk about elimination when there is less than one case per 10,000 on the register.
Okay.
At one particular point of time. So it does not mean that there are no new cases. There are plenty of new cases. The number of new cases is going down much more slowly in countries than the prevalence went down. But that is what we call elimination as a public health problem. It's different from other infectious diseases.
So, okay, all right. So then at this point, when we look at the way forward and given where we've come from, do we say that there have been a tremendous progress, Mr. Lobsher?
Yes, I think it's huge progress over the last 3 decades in particular as multi-drug therapy has become more and more available worldwide. And we've certainly seen the numbers coming down in response to that. But what I think I would like to stress is that there are very large numbers of people who've had leprosy in the past. They have been cured of the active disease. They no longer have active leprosy, but they no longer also have sensation in their hands, feet, and eyes. And those patients, unfortunately, will be vulnerable to developing disabilities for the rest of their lives. And we need to make sure that there are services in place to help those people care for themselves, to avoid injuries, and to know what to do when they do get injuries so that those injuries don't become or don't lead to extensive disabilities.
Okay, and we are going to take a very short break for the news. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. Dr. Kroman, Mr. Lobsher, please stick with us. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
And it's time now for the news with Sanusi Diallo.
Researchers at Stanford University in California have created what they say is a highly accurate blood test that can easily diagnose and sort out those who have a latent disease from those who have active TB. The blood test identifies 3 genes that respond in a consistent patterns when the disease becomes active. In a study published in the journal Lancet Respiratory Medicine, the Stanford scientists report the result of the test in 1,400 blood samples. The test correctly diagnosed 86% of samples from children with active TB, and the test was accurate in 99% of cases where there was no active disease. Each year, 9.6 million people become infected with tuberculosis, and 1.5 million of them die. The WHO has launched a global strategic response framework and joint operation plan to guide the international response to the spread of Zika virus infection and neonatal malformation and neurological condition associated with it. The strategy focuses on mobilizing and coordinating parents, expert research to help country enhance surveillance of the Zika virus and disorder that could be linked to it. Furthermore, improve vector control, effectively communicate risk, guidance, and protection measures. Finally, the strategy will provide medical care to those affected and fast-track research and development of vaccine, diagnosis, and therapeutics. That's all for your health news today. Thank you.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we are discussing leprosy today, and our guest, Dr. Erwin Corman, and Mr. Peter Lapsher. Dr. Corman is joining us from New Delhi, India, and Mr. Lapsher from Durban, South Africa. Dr. Corman, we have a question from Sheila in Ghana. She says, if a mother has leprosy, can she pass the disease to her child?
Well, it depends on what form of leprosy it is. It is only the multibacillary forms that are able to transmit disease to other people, not disease, transmit infection. After being infected, one person can become sick after a long incubation time. So the answer is, depending on the type of leprosy, it can be passed, the infection can be passed, and then it still depends on the immunity of the person, whether they will express the disease after some time.
Okay. And David in Zimbabwe wants to know, Mr. Lapsher, is there a center that specializes in treating leprosy in South Africa?
We have centers in South Africa where leprosy treatment is available. We try to make it available at clinics wherever patients are in need of treatment. But there are about five centers in particular in South Africa where there are dermatologists available who have a particularly detailed knowledge of leprosy. And that's in Cape Town and in Umtata in the Eastern Cape, in Durban and in Johannesburg and up north in the Limpopo province. But there are many other people got a very good knowledge of leprosy and who are certainly able to assist people who need the assistance.
Okay. And Abdullah in Sierra Leone has this question. How deadly is leprosy, Dr. Corman?
Well, we say that you do not die from leprosy, you die with leprosy. So in most cases, people are sick from it for some time. They're not really very sick, but they may have the disease, they may have the disability. But they carry these disabilities with a normal life expectancy. Of course, leprosy is a disease which affects much more the poor people. So poor people have a shorter life expectancy than rich people, and in that way the life may be shorter. But in principle, you should not die from leprosy.
Okay. Chinedu in Nigeria wants to know, can you explain how someone catches leprosy? Can someone who takes care of a patient be infected? Dr. Kuraman, perhaps you want to answer this question?
Yeah, I think my colleague has explained earlier how leprosy is transmitted. It is through droplets emanating from sneezing or coughing from a multibacillary case. So but you need to be already in prolonged contact with a multibacillary case. An occasional contact, maybe it's very unlikely you may get infected. But if you are in a prolonged contact, there is more risk, more chance that you may get infected. And then after some time, depending on your immunity, you may develop the disease.
Okay. And Mr. Lapsher, what are some of the challenges in South Africa specifically?
Specifically in South Africa, I think, is the fact that because our patients have reached a very, very low level, that means that patients not at clinics, they aren't, nobody realizes that it's leprosy and people other things before they think of leprosy. So there's often a very long delay between the outward type of disease and the treatment. And that, I would say, is our main problem. The other issue after many remote, isolated, to rural areas, and because of that, it takes a long time to get the treatment point to get to a clinic which may be able to help them. Many of our patients stay 20 or 30 kilometers from a
Okay, Mr. Lapsher, we're having some trouble with your audio, and while we take care of that, Dr. Kurman, let me ask you, could you perhaps talk to us about the situation in India? This is where you are presently as the person who is overseeing the WHO program on leprosy. What is the situation in India?
Well, when you talk about India, we talk about big numbers. India is one country, carries two-thirds of the global burden of leprosy, at least of the reported burden, two-thirds occurs in one country in India. Many cases are there. Many cases are also still hidden. And one of the issues we have, of course, is the late case finding. The policy so far was passive case finding. So services are available all over the country and through primary health care centers, through NGO clinics, etc., and then waiting for the patients to come. However, passive case finding and early case finding is more or less contradictory. patients do not come early because they have patches which are not painful, which do not give any trouble, so they are not worried about it. They have many other problems to worry. So these are some of the major challenges. Disabilities may be still a challenge. Leprosy in children is still there, and having leprosy in children means that there is active transmission going on in the community. These are not reactivations that we see at old age. So these are some of the challenges. But of course, India, it is the sheer numbers that put a large burden on the country.
So when we talk about the fact that most of the victims live in poverty-stricken communities, can this be part of the cause of leprosy in terms of hygiene, or is it a consequence as to the leading to the fact that because they are poor, they cannot access treatment soon enough? Which I'm trying to understand where to draw the line here. To what extent, in what level is poverty the problem? Perhaps, Mr. Lobshaw, you can comment on this.
Yes, probably perhaps doctor is in a better position to comment on that. It's something that's been studied very carefully over many years, the link between poverty and leprosy. We certainly know that where there is extensive poverty, you are more likely to find people affected by leprosy. However, I should also stress that in South Africa, some of our patients come from quite well-resourced communities, and they certainly wouldn't be regarded as poor people. But I think in general around the world where one does find extensive poverty, malnutrition, poor housing, and a link with leprosy. But I think doctors are in a better position to elaborate that on that than I am.
Okay, Dr. Kruman, did you want to add something?
So what the colleague said is correct. So there is a link with poverty. Of course, poverty is also more linked with overcrowdedness, etc., and close contact of people, less immunity, etc., which people may express more disease. There might also be some genetic factor, because we see that leprosy occurs more in some tribal communities maybe, or in some isolated communities. So this may also play a factor. But probably it's a combination of all these factors. And indeed, we do also see leprosy in well-off people occasionally, but as a proportion, it will be much more in poor people, definitely.
Now, the WHO's recommendation is for patients to have access to drugs freely. What happened to the patients after they are treated and they recover from leprosy and they are left with the physical damage and the nerve damage? What is there a type of program that the WHO has in place to encourage countries to care for these people?
Well, the first priority, of course, is disease control. It's trying to reduce the number of new cases by treating patients, and therefore we focus most of our attention, of course, to finding cases and treating their infection, killing the bacilli. The minority of patients, I would say, that have problems of deformities or of nerve injections, so they are also referred. Most national programs do have a social component also, or a physical rehabilitation component. Prevention of disability component is present in most countries, and we encourage that. So yes, we have an official policy on that. And then also, this part of the work is in most countries definitely much more supported by NGOs, who are much better placed for this long-term follow-up, even after treatment has been completed.
Okay, Dr. Corman, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much indeed.
Peter Lobshaw, thank you for joining us again today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'm honored to have been on your program.
And that was Dr. Erwin Kruman, team leader of the Global Leprosy Program of the World Health Organization, and Peter Lobshaw, executive director of the Leprosy Mission of Southern Africa. To you, our listeners, we thank you for joining us every week on Health Chat to get on an update on what is happening on the health news front. And I'm your host, Lino Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi and Sanusu Diallo with the news. Thank you for joining us. Take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.